Revelation chapter 11, we'll just be reading the first several verses. This will begin on the Bible provided on page 1479. We'll just be reading the first 13 verses, which will go to the next page. Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, verses. People of God, hear the word of the Lord. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Thus is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. In order to briefly unpack the meaning of these verses, we must remember where we are at. We have gone through the seals, and at that seventh seal unleashed the trumpets. We have gone through six of the trumpets, and there's an intermediate time until that seventh trumpet is sounded. And there is, as there was between the seals and the trumpets, now there is that intermediate time of a summation or some purpose which Jesus has in having a prelude to what is to come, but also comfort for what is past as well. And that's what we have here, because remember, trumpet number 5 and 6 were horrible. They were woe number 1 and woe number 2. Number 5 was the ascending of the Antichrist, the rising of the Antichrist. And number 6 was the unleashing of the Islam, which spread throughout and just crushed the Eastern churches. And you can see that in the description of those trumpets. And now there's this prelude, and this is such an important prelude that this happens for the sake of comfort. For the sake of comfort that there is something greater to come. Don't stay in despair. And so, chapter 10, we got at it. We saw the little book. We saw there's going to be the gospel going forth, and it's going to be in the hand of the angel of the covenant. Now we're at 11, and it's going to tell us much the same thing, but with different details that we may understand what is to come at that seventh trumpet. and also what happened in more detail in that fifth and sixth woes, the fifth and sixth trumpets, which is the first and second woes. In other words, what happened at the rising of Antichrist. And so this is getting at and anticipating that seventh trumpet. And I'll show you why and how. So in the beginning portion, you have the angel telling John to measure the courts of the temple. But notice that there's details given that helps us to get at the understanding. Part of it's left out. Which part is left out? The outer court. Why? Because the Gentiles are overrunning it. For how long? 40 and 2 months. How long is 40 and 2 months? In days, it's 1,260. Or as it says in our translation in 3, 1,203 score days. This will be repeated over the next couple chapters because it's talking about all the same length of time. That 1,260 of that Gentiles, the heathens, right? That's what that means. The heathens overrunning the church of God, overrunning the courts of the temple. And so this is that we know from the scriptures here, who is it? That's the head of the Gentiles here, that the heathen. It's he who has the key to the bottomless pit, that ascends out of the bottomless pit. And that's exactly how Antichrist is described. So this time of 1,260 or 42 months, this is the time of Antichrist's reign, his rising and his reign, and his conquering or his attacking of the church. Okay, and that's what's happening here. But during that time, and this is a comfort for the church, during that time, God reserves his witnesses. His two witnesses. Notice that this is put in prophetic language. They're called the two olive trees, harking back to Joshua and Zerubbabel, in that you can read about in Zechariah, harkening back to what they're able to do in regard to plagues, which goes back to what other two witnesses? Aaron and Moses. It's the Holy Spirit is showing us just as in the days of old, there was always faithful prophets, faithful ministers of God, faithful magistrates even of God. So there is, that's who Zerubbabel was, right? So there will be during this time where Antichrist is reigning and attacking the church and setting himself up in it in his throne room. There will be prophesying, a testimony, two witnesses standing for all of those ministers during this long period of time, 1,260 years, where there will be a Antichrist reigning. And towards the end of that 1,260, it says what's going to happen to the witnesses. The faithful ministers will be killed. They would be all but snuffed out. The witness is all but snuffed out. Their dead bodies lying in the street. What street? That which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. You see, it says here, where also our Lord was crucified. This, of course, was in the realm, the power, the authority of the Roman Empire, right? Jerusalem was not its own entity. It was underneath the hegemony of the Roman Empire, and it was underneath Pontius Pilate, one of their powerful authorities on which he was crucified. This is typifying, of course, that which is the Roman hegemony, which was the rule of the church, setting itself up in there, the Roman papacy. And we see, and I can show you the history. I wish I had time to show you the history of how the witnesses were always there. There was always the Waldensians, there was always the Albigensians, there was always this witness against this attack of the Gentiles in the outer court of the temple. But there was a time where it was all snuffed out. They died. There was nothing, it seemed, left of faithful ministers. But then they rose again. And we had our Reformation. We had our Luther. We had our Calvin. We had our Zwingli. We had our Bucer. They rose up. And they were put to great eminence. And not only faithful ministers, but magistrates as well. You had Ferdinand. You had, during the times of Charles V, these great men of cantons which protected the Reformation leaders. They ascended up on high. They were great. And by this time of 1559, 1560,
for the first time in history, you had the Reformation, which was by law in lands of Germany, able to be entitled to an independency from the Roman papacy. In exact fulfillment of this 42 months, counted from the days of the ascendancies in the 300. It's an amazing, the accuracy of this, but also knowing the history, which I wish I had time to give you, how this has unfolded. Now, this begins the seventh trumpet, when the Reformation has been resurrected, and we're going to see what happens as Antichrist starts to fall. It starts with the Reformation. It starts in that 1559, 1560 time period. It was like an earthquake. It upheaved all of Europe. You had Scotland. You had Bohemia. You had France for a time before it was crushed by the Jesuits. You had the three kingdoms. You had Germany. You had the Netherlands. All of them claiming independency, setting up their own constitution, acknowledging Christ as king. There was an earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. What city is that? The city of the hegemony of Rome. The papacy did, and this is a true statistic. This is attested by secular historians. The tenth of the Roman papacy's influences, bishoprics, fell and went to the Reformation. A minority, but yet a faithful minority in which we stand in direct line. You'll hear more about this next week as we look at the seventh angel sounding this trumpet. So let us now look in response at Psalm 18b. Psalm 18b, I've